Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Let's jump into the message this morning. We're continuing in our I Believe series. And I want to start off the sermon this morning by reading a poem that is over 100 years old. It was written in 1921 by Myra Brooks Welch. And maybe growing up in school, you heard it, or maybe you memorized it. But I want us to listen good as we as I read this poem. And we'll jump into the sermon. This is the poem. The poem is called "The Touch of the Master's Hand." 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I to bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, now two, only two? $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it aloft with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some exclaimed, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "'Twas the touch of the master's hand." And many a man with his life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and a change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Our lives can feel battered and worthless, especially when we face betrayal or hurt or persecution or loneliness. But in the hands of the master, my friend, everything changes. Even when life doesn't make sense, okay? Even when life doesn't make sense, I can believe, and the sermon today is this, I believe God knows best. That's the declaration today. That's the sermon title. That's the heart of the message. I believe God knows best. And that's a testimony of Joseph's life in the Old Testament. Joseph, and we won't read this, the Joseph's story in the book of Genesis is about 13 chapters long. It's a lot of scripture, a wonderful, long, broad story that if you don't know it, I hope that you'll read it and listen to it and learn it. But today we're going to kind of pick some pieces out, and I'll try to give you some extra details so you know where we're at in the story. But Joseph's life, Joseph's testimony really boils down to the fact that even in the midst of trial, tribulation, when life doesn't make sense, God is at work and God knows best. And the main scripture that we'll focus on, we'll read other scriptures as well, but it's Genesis 50:20. And this is what it says. It says in Genesis 50:20, this is after everything. This is the end of Joseph's story. After he had been sold into slavery by his brothers, thrown in a pit to die, sold to Potiphar's house, one of the officials there in Egypt, as a slave, he was lied about by Potiphar's wife and thrown in prison on false accusations. Spent 2 years in prison because the other guy forgot about him. Finally, he's promoted. God promoted him. And now there's a famine in the land. His brothers have come back for food. They have no idea where Joseph is. They think he's dead somewhere. But they're coming back for food because Joseph, leader of the land of Egypt, now God had had promoted him after all these trials. Now Joseph's in charge of gathering all the food for the lands because they were in a famine. So Joseph's brothers come back, the same ones who sold him into slavery, the same ones who hated him. Now they're coming to Egypt looking for food, have no idea that their brother that they sold and betrayed and lied about is now in charge of their survival. And finally, Joseph exposes himself to his brother, says, "It's me, I'm your brother." They're afraid for their life. They're afraid, they're thinking he's going to kill them. But what does Joseph say to them in Genesis 50, 20? He says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph's heart, after all he had been through, was God knows best. In the middle, listen, he was thrown in a pit to die by his own flesh and blood. He was sold into slavery by those same brothers. They pulled him out of the pit. Maybe he's thinking, wow, the joke's finally over. They're taking me out of the pit. No, they're taking him out of the pit to sell him as a slave in Egypt. He'd been burned, forgotten, betrayed, hurt. And yet, at the end of all that, he trusted God and said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And if we can carry that heart, and we're going to look at some thoughts and observations from the story of Joseph for this sermon this morning, but if we can have the heart that says, even when life doesn't make sense, and kids, let me tell you, kids, you're young now, you get to live with mom and dad. When you grow up, man, life is hard sometimes, but God is faithful. God is good, and God will carry you, and God will lift you up. And if you can right now as a kid decide in your heart that even when things are crazy all around you, even when mom and dad seem a little stressed, and we will, and they do, and I do, that God is at work and God knows best, I promise your life will be a whole lot better. May not be always easy, but God is faithful. I believe God knows best. And some observations today. We'll look at the first one here, and we already mentioned a little bit about it, but number one is this: people will hurt you. Wow, what an encouraging message, Pastor. Thanks for the pick-me-up on Sunday morning. Hey, you know what? What's the reality of life, my friend, is that people will hurt you. I have no doubt that every single person in this room has been hurt by somebody. I don't mean physically hurt. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe a mom or dad. Maybe a friend or a former friend. I don't know, but the reality of life, and we see it clearly in Joseph's life, it was his family. People will hurt you. People will hurt you. I'll read some scriptures, and they're not on the screen, so just listen. Genesis 37, 23 and 24 says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." His father had given him a coat of many colors. Listen, nobody's perfect. Joseph's dad had a favorite kid. Not a good idea, parents. That's just free advice. Don't have a favorite. He kind of made, not only did he have a favorite, but he gave his favorite a coat, okay? A special, colorful coat. You know, kids are kids. Boys will be boys, right? They weren't very thrilled. So dad wasn't really helping the relationship between the brothers there. Either way, they took this coat off of him. It says they took him, they cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. So Joseph's brothers took him, took off his nice jacket, okay? Threw him into a hole, a deep hole that he couldn't get out of. And it says, then there passed by Midianites, who were people, merchantmen, and they drew and they lifted Joseph up out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. So Joseph's brothers obviously had major, major hatred for him. Joseph was hated by his brothers. They couldn't even speak peaceably to him. God had given Joseph these dreams where he would dream that one day, you know, people would be bowing down to him, not in worship, but more like in reverence as a leader. And he would tell his brothers these things. That's kind of little brother problems right there. Don't brag about the dream when your older brothers are going to be bowing down to you. That's not going to help the relationship either. But either way, they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. They hated him. They resented his dreams. His favor that Joseph had with his father, they were jealous of that. And they ultimately betrayed him. by trying to kill him. They were going to lie and say, oh, an animal killed him. Then they said, let's just sell him into slavery. They sold their own brother for 20 pieces of silver. Maybe, church, you have been betrayed. Maybe in your life you have been wronged or lied about, hurt, and you've experienced, point number one, people will hurt you. Maybe you know the pain of someone telling stories about you that aren't true. Maybe you've been a victim of the rumor mill, where people are spreading things about you or your family or someone you love, and you're feeling the pain of that. By the way, that's the brokenness of this world and the brokenness of people in this world. This is a broken and fallen place. And every single day, every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, are affected by the sins of this world, by the brokenness of this world. Don't you, parents, don't you hate that our kids have to feel the brokenness of this world at such a young age? Oh, it breaks my heart as a dad that they're faced with the effects of others' sins and evils. But that's the reality. People will hurt you. Maybe you know what this feels like. And Joseph's life here teaches us that people will hurt you. Yes, people will hurt you. But people do not control your destiny. People do not control your destiny. God does. You may have been wronged. You may have been hurt and betrayed and lied about, but people do not control your future. God does. People do not control your successes and your destiny. God does. And the very ones who thought they were destroying Joseph, his brothers, they were unknowingly pushing him towards his purpose. Mercy said today in her welcome about the things in our lives God protects us from. Listen, you think Joseph enjoyed being thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, being lied about by Potiphar's wife who said that he was coming on to her when he wasn't, and he was thrown in jail on false accusations? You think Joseph enjoyed that feeling? No, he didn't. But what was God doing through all those situations, through all those negative experiences? God was pushing Joseph towards his greater purpose. And yes, people will hurt you. Some of you are feeling the effects of that hurt this very morning. But believe that God knows best. And that all those things that are happening to you are just God's way of using the brokenness of this world to push you further along in His purpose for you. You are growing. You are being strengthened by the grace of God in the middle of your trial. Yes, people will hurt you, but God knows best. Psalm 118:8 says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because God won't let us down. People will hurt us, yes, but God will not. Hurts are real, but God's healing is more real. Let me say that again. People's hurts are real. I'm not going to shy away from the fact or belittle the fact that being hurt by someone else, especially those that we love, that we're supposed to be able to trust, those hurts are real and they're heavy and they're a burden. But God's healing is more real and carries greater weight. The betrayal of others does not limit the blessing of God. Even when people hurt me, I believe that God knows best. Make that your declaration this morning. Even when people hurt me, God knows best. He can use that betrayal, that hurt, those lies to draw me even closer to Himself. That's the God we serve. He can take the worst of the worst of the worst situations and use it to strengthen us. What was supposed to destroy us, what was meant to defeat and destroy us, God can use that to grow us. He turns graves into gardens. He turns seas into highways. He turns bones into armies. That's the God that we serve. He turned a cross into my freedom. He took an empty a tomb that holds dead bodies and gave me resurrection power. That's the God that we serve. People will hurt you. We see it in Joseph's life. But what else do we see? People will also forget you. People will hurt you, yes, but people will forget you. Genesis 40 says, but Joseph, I mentioned it, he spent time in prison after he was sold as a slave. He was working in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was one of the Egyptian officials there and high up in the chain of command. And Potiphar's wife was an evil woman and wanted Joseph and her to have a relationship. And Joseph said, No way, you're not my wife, I'm not doing that. And she kept coming on to him, and he said, no. Finally, she grabbed on him. He ran. And his coat, she ripped his coat right off, and he ran away. He's like, I'm getting out of here, which, by the way, a great example of what we should do with sin. The scriptures say, flee youthful lust. It says, depart from iniquity. We need to run. Joseph said, I'm getting away from this mess, and left. But that evil woman, Potiphar's wife, not even graced with a name in the scriptures, which I love, just Potiphar's wife, went with that coat, Joseph's coat, to her husband and said, oh, Joseph tried to do this and that and tried to come out of me. And Potiphar had no other choice but to throw Joseph in prison on false allegations, on a falsity, complete lies. And Joseph was thrown in prison as an innocent man. As an innocent man. And he was in there with the butler and the baker. Who knows why they were in there, but they were in there as well. And Joseph had some dreams while he was in prison. And he said, hey, you know what? Joseph's dreams, he knew that God told him that the butler was going to be freed and have his freedom, and the baker was going to be hanged and going to be killed. And that's exactly what happened. And Joseph says, as we get to the scripture, Genesis 40, Joseph is now talking to the butler who's getting his freedom, and he says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house, out of this jail. So Joseph says, hey, I helped you out. I told you what was going to happen. You're free now. Make sure you let Pharaoh know that I'm still in here and tell him that I answered, you know, I interpreted your dreams. And he says, make mention of me. And what does it say in verse number 23? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Brutal. Me and my father just talked about this on the phone a few days ago, how awkward it must have been 2 years later when the Pharaoh was now having dreams. And no one could explain them. And then the butler's like, oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. You ever been there? You forget something. Oh, I can't, I'm supposed to call that person. Imagine 2 years later, guy's still in jail. It's like, oh, he literally specifically said, please don't forget about me. And I literally did exactly that and forgot about him. The butler forgot him. Joseph did good. He interpreted the butler's dream. He asked just for a little help in return. Make sure you make mention of me to Pharaoh when you get out. But after all the butler, he was restored to his position. Joseph was forgotten. He was forgotten. And there's not a lot of worse feelings than feeling forgotten. You know, because often it's when you're betrayed by an enemy or something, when you're hurt by an enemy, you kind of expect that. People that don't like, but when someone that loves you or people that you have no issue, when you're forgotten, man, the enemy will use that. He'll use that in your life to bring you down. And when you feel forgotten or overlooked, you put in the work, you put in the time, you put in the care, you do everything you're supposed to do, and nobody remembers. There's no thank yous, there's no recognitions. And yes, I know we don't do things. We should not serve people for recognition, but it's in our human nature to desire it sometimes. And when it doesn't come, it bothers us, and we feel forgotten. No, there's nothing in return, and we just feel like we're doing all this for nothing. Joseph sat in prison for 2 full years after he was forgotten. But church, while people may forget, while people may overlook you, God never forgets. God never overlooks. God never abandons. Even when you feel forgotten and abandoned and overlooked, God doesn't do it. Isaiah 49 verse 15 says, can a woman forget her child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, and this is God talking, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. God's timing is not our timing. Believe it, church. Don't we wish it was often? God's timing is not our timing. If Joseph had been freed too soon, Think about it. The only reason Joseph even got out of prison 2 years later, because the Pharaoh was having dreams, and the butler was like, oh yeah, he interpreted my dream. And he told me to remember, and he brought him out. If Joseph had been freed too soon, he would have missed the moment to interpret Pharaoh's dream. The very moment that would launch him into second in command in all of Egypt. God's timing is not our timing. God wasn't just rescuing Joseph from prison. God was preparing Joseph for promotion that whole time. Yes, people may forget you, but God never does. And God is continually at work. Even when people forget me, I believe God knows best. His timing is perfect. His delays are not denials. I'll say it again. His delays are not denials. People may forget, but God knows best. God knows best. God knows best in your life. His delays are not denials. So yes, bad news, the first two. People will hurt you. People will forget you. And lastly is this. God will carry you, though. God will carry you. God is carrying you. Genesis 45. God sent me. This is Joseph speaking. He says, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Talking to his brother saying, hey, listen, God did this. God was at work. And all that throwing in the pit, selling the slave, God was at work. God will carry you. When Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers, he didn't speak of revenge. Although many of us, including me, probably would have wanted to. Maybe I'll let them sit in jail for a half hour at least. You know, after all that they put me through. But Joseph didn't speak of revenge. He spoke of God's hand over his life. Amazing testimony of faith and trust. Joseph realized God was carrying him the whole time through the betrayal, through the slavery, through the false accusations, through the 2 years in prison forgotten. God was carrying him. It wasn't luck. It wasn't Joseph's own wisdom. It was God who carried him with every step. And maybe today you are feeling weighed down by the trials of life. You are feeling burdened down by the troubles and tribulations of life that inevitably will attack us and will come on our backs like a heavy weight. Maybe you're feeling that way this morning. You're feeling a burden of grief, a burden of betrayal, a burden of confusion, where life just doesn't make sense. The good news is this: you don't have to carry that burden alone. You don't have to carry that burden of grief, that burden of betrayal, that burden of hurt, that burden of confusion. You don't have to carry it alone. God will carry you. And you got to believe it, church. Deuteronomy 1:31 says, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, God carries me. God will carry you through your darkest night, through your most vicious storm, through that most hurtful lie and betrayal. God will carry you. In those confusing times where you don't know what to do next, God will carry you. He carried Joseph through the valleys to put him in the palace. Some of you are in that valley season. God will and is carrying you. He is not distant. He is not a God that is far off. He is near. He is intimately involved in your life now. He knew this sermon would be preached this morning to this specific group of people where somebody needed to hear that God knows best. Somebody this morning needed to hear me say, God will carry you. Somebody this morning needed to hear me say, yes, people will hurt you, but God is with you. Someone this morning needed to hear me say, by the grace of God, from the Word of God, that yes, people will forget you, but God never forgets. God knows best. He's involved in your life even when you can't see it. Even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel Him, He's there. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, even when life feels heavy, I believe God knows best. Amen. When it feels heavy, God knows best. God will carry me. And oh, do I need to be carried so often? When in my heart, I feel like I can't take another step. In my heart, I feel like I don't have the strength to do anything. And in those moments, God will carry me. God has carried me, and He's carried you. Joseph's life is a testimony. Yes, people will hurt you, but God will heal you. People will forget you, but God will remember you. Life will get heavy, but God will carry you. That violin didn't look like much until it was in the hands of the master. Your life might feel broken. It might feel unfair or overlooked, but in the hands of the master, God is composing a masterpiece. A couple months ago, it was cold, so it was March, and I was in my front yard, and in our front yard, there's a gravel, we don't have any pavement, there's an old dirt road, but in our driveway's a dirt road, there's all this gravel, and right by our gravel driveway leading to the front door is all gravel, and just rocks, not really any grass at all. And it was March 11th, and something caught my eye, and you can put it up on the screen, Donald. I saw, and I love that picture, I took this picture with my iPhone. And it was very clear, right? But what caught my eye the most, I mean, goodness gracious, spring is coming, flowers, but look what's all around that. Ugly, dirty rocks. Gravel. And yet, something beautiful.
Amen.
Life. From the rocky soil. And at that time, I needed to see that. I can't remember what I was feeling or going through or whatever, early March, but either way, I saw it and it was like God said, hey, I can make beauty from ashes. Don't forget that. Hey, I can turn a grave into a garden. Don't forget that. I can bring beauty out of your burden. I can bring beauty out of your betrayal and burden. And let this picture be a reminder to you that God knows best. He's at work even in our darkest days. Whatever you're facing today, betrayal, rejection, hurt, someone for overlook, confusion, don't give up. Trust the master. Trust His plan. Trust His heart. Life may not always make sense to us, church. Life may not always make sense to us, but it makes sense to God. You got to believe it. What other choice do we have? Life may not always make sense to us, but it always makes sense to God. Let me finish with this scripture. And let me say, kids, you've done a great job this morning. Done a great job. And if you can listen to one thing, listen, before we pray and dismiss, remember in your life that God knows best. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what hurts you feel, God knows best. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And the Bible says He shall direct thy paths. God knows best.
Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.